Welcome to Modern Digital Applications, a podcast for corporate decision makers and executives looking to create or extend their digital business with the help of modern applications, processes, and software strategy. Now, welcome your host, a recognized industry thought leader in cloud computing and published author, bringing over 30 years of experience, Lee Acheson.
My guest today is Beth Long. Beth worked at New Relic, where she held roles in both engineering and marketing, including 2 years leading the reliability engineering team at New Relic. And that team owned the tooling and process for incident management and analysis. She also led New Relic's collaboration with the Snafu Catchers, which was a group of researchers that investigated how high-tech companies learn from past incidents. This is part two of my interview with Beth. We continue the conversation with a question about the interplay between humans and tooling and the impact on incident analysis.
The interplay between humans and tooling is a fascinating one, and one that I'd love to see the industry continue to get more savvy about, because the trick is finding tooling that helps us prevent those mistakes, repetition problems, imprecision problems, while still giving humans the visibility and the control that when things are surprising, they can still adapt and they're not locked into a downward spiral. And the ultimate cautionary tale for this is the issue with the Boeing 737. Is it 737?
737 MAX.
Yeah. That was a case of tooling that was not adaptable, that was forcing a very complex and critical system into a failure mode that the humans had no ability to disrupt or adapt or get out of, and with tragic results.
Right.
And so often our results aren't that obviously tragic, but so many of our systems are mission critical to the operation of modern society, and we really need to be taking these tooling decisions seriously.
So you're absolutely hit on right. You know, it's the ideal situation is you let humans make decisions, you let toolings implement decisions, because toolings are good at doing things. Computers are good at doing things. They're not good at deciding on things, but humans aren't very good at doing things, but they are very good at deciding on what needs to be done. So that's kind of, I think, the way I like to summarize it too, is that tooling helps you do the things that humans aren't good at in a much better way. Now, interesting you bring up the 737 MAX. That's probably another whole podcast episode right there that we could talk about. And maybe we can come back and we can do another one on that. But let's keep that in reserve. But I definitely am interested in that one, yeah. Maybe do a little bit more research and then come back and do an episode on that.
Pin that.
But, let's talk more than about, get back into the specifics of the post-incident analysis. Now, so we talked about, the 5Y approach is not the best way. The root cause analysis is not the best way. So let's talk about what is the best ways. And let's talk about in a little bit more detail about what you recommend that people do. So you recommend that you find interesting incidents and look at those first. So how do you look at them? What are you looking for? And how do you make that happen?
So when you look at an incident, there's a couple things that are really helpful that we tend not to do a lot in the industry today. We tend to build a timeline of what happened and then come up with some follow-up actions, and then those go into our ticketing system and they disappear, and sort of that's the end of it. If we start to look at incidents as this opportunity to recalibrate our understanding of the system, both technical and human, then we can start to look at incidents and try to understand what decisions people were making. Back to our conversation a little earlier, what decisions were people making at the time? How did they how did they think the system was working? How did they think that it should work? And how were they able to recalibrate real time in order to identify and then resolve the problem? Building up an understanding of that process helps to surface the specifics of where people's mental models were drifting from reality, where they were incomplete, and helps you start to understand how it is that people work together and collaborate and coordinate as they're resolving an incident. And so this can start to point to not just immediate follow-up actions like, we need a better process for X, or we need to solve this bug, or we need to, you know, improve the infrastructure in this area. But it starts to point to systemic issues like, oh, we have an entire part of the organization that doesn't know about diagnostic tooling that would have drastically shortened the diagnosis phase. Or we have very poor communication between engineering and customer support. And so engineering had no idea about the severity of the problem. There are a lot of these things that start to surface as you understand what those decisions were and why and how people were making them.
So it's not just what caused the incident. It's how did you detect that the incident occurred, and how do you get the right people involved to make sure that you can look at the incident and figure out the incident, and that with the ultimate goal of getting the incident over quickly or in the appropriate period of time.
Exactly. Exactly. You might be asking questions like, who joined the incident and how did they know to join? Were they paged in? Were they, you know, pinged directly by someone? Were they just lurking and they happened to see that something went wrong? When they joined, how did they get up to speed and figure out what was going wrong and why? What dashboards did they look at? What kinds of logs and monitoring systems were they looking at? Did they have access to what they needed? As they coordinated, were the right people having the right conversations? Were people working at cross purposes? Were people off in silos? And so maybe you had two different groups reproducing the same work. How did those people work together? Was it one team that was kind of solving everything, or did multiple teams need to interact? And this will start to tell you about your system at multiple layers and help you understand both what went wrong in that particular incident and what patterns you're seeing in incident response in general that you need to understand as an organization to help you get better at the process over time.
So that's all good. And I can imagine how for a individual incident, you could look at it and come back with, here are some things we learned, and this team didn't do the right thing, or this team did do the right thing, and they need better tooling here, they need more data here. You know, you can solve the spot problems, but there's also trends that occur, and you really want to, the incident response process really isn't useful unless you can get at the trends. How do you get at the trends? I mean, you almost like need, hint, hint, tooling to help you with this process as I lead into. So why don't you tell me what you're working on now, Beth?
It's as if you need an incident analysis platform to help you do this. So to answer your initial question, cross-incident analysis really is the holy grail of the incident analysis process, because one thing I haven't really talked about yet a lot, but you know, we talk about incidents as if we know and agree what we're talking about. And the fact is that incidents themselves are pretty fuzzy. Like, when does an incident start and end? What differentiates an incident that repeated from an incident that just never quite got resolved? Like, you can get into a lot of pedantic arguments about the boundaries of incidents. But those of us who have worked in the worked in technology for a while know that there's an often convoluted relationship between different incidents, and starting to be able to understand how different events are related to each other over time is much more powerful than just figuring out what went wrong in 1 2-hour block. So let me talk a little bit about what we're doing at Jelly and how this how Jelly is trying to tackle this problem. So Jelly.io is a new platform that is it's currently in closed beta. We just finished out a preliminary design partnership with Indeed.com, and they're beginning to use this now as part of their regular process. And we've got some more design partners that are onboarding in the next couple of months. And we've been working with these companies to use the current version of our incident analysis platform, which allows you to import the Slack transcript of the incident response conversations that happened in a Slack channel into our platform and correlate PagerDuty alert data that gives you information about who was paged and when and how relevant to the incident at hand. And once you have this information in the Jelly platform, you're able to have an investigator go in and start to tag the conversation to understand exactly what I was talking about. Who joined the incident and when, what hypotheses were put forward, and what was the arc of testing and proving or disproving various hypotheses. What were important insights that arose during the incident? And so we allow investigators to create actually multiple timelines of different narratives through the course of the incident. And that allows them to then go and have the conversations with the incident participants and conduct more in-depth interviews to fill out the understanding once they are able to formulate some questions based on looking at those transcripts. And then they can come back into the tool and begin to annotate the transcript and build up this more sophisticated understanding about what happened and why.
So you're taking raw data from the incident and you're giving investigators tools to put context around that raw data, essentially.
Exactly.
We have context, and that context then becomes future searchable, future accessible, future usable in other investigations and trend analysis and those sorts of things all become possible because you have a hyper attributed set of data that allows you to figure out where certain types of things happened.
Exactly. And you actually, in a conversation we had a little while back, you provided a great analogy for this, which is accounting software. And this idea that you have this series of events, these purchases that you made in the past, and now you need to somehow make sense of them and understand, okay, why were these significant? What do I need to do with them? And this idea of tooling that can kind of both give you a head start by saying, we think these things matter for these reasons, and then also give you the flexibility to then go in and annotate that, share it with an accountant, use it to create your budget. There's all these different things that you might need to do with that information. So really helping you make sense of things that happened in the past so that you understand both the meaning that they had at the time and what you need to do now based on those events.
Change random transactions into attributed transactions with context, which ultimately turns into reports and analysis of reports that gives you things like tax bills and,
exactly.
and future planning for the company and all those sorts of things.
Right.
So the same thing happens with incident data.
Exactly.
And that's the goal of what you're trying to do.
And the immediate goal for what we're doing right now is to help people be both faster and better at the incident analysis process and create better reports. And our ultimate vision is really to transform how people do post-incident analysis and change it from we're going to generate a Google Doc that sits in a folder somewhere no one ever looks at, to generating a living report that is very meaningful to different people and that can become, instead of a piece of paperwork that no one really cares about, a story that people really want to read because it helps them do their job better.
Here's how we do incidents at this company and what works and what doesn't work. So you get the searchable data, you get the analysis of that data that's, and even upper management can get context from and understand what's going on. But I also imagine you have a lot of, one other thing that you can do with attributed data is apply machine learning and AI technology to get even more interesting, useful results. And I'm assuming data like this would be very valuable for those sorts of algorithms as well.
Absolutely. We have the barest beginnings of that right now, where we're just now in development with some features that allow you to tag certain kinds of information automatically. So as you import your data from Slack, as soon as you open the investigation, you've got some pre-tagged information that lets you start to say, oh, these are things that I might want to look at.
As an assistance to building the attributed data.
Yeah. Exactly. And we've also got a real powerhouse at Jelly in the form of Laura McGuire, who did her PhD work on exactly this sort of thing. How do organizations dealing with vast complexity coordinate as they resolve these problems? And so she's bringing a lot of deep research insight into how people do what she calls cognitive work. You know, how do we do this heavy duty thinking and decision making and analysis? And how do we both support the people who are doing the incident analysis itself, as well as really understand what's important as people are responding to incidents, and bringing that research sophistication so that we can start to, again, some of it will be with the machine learning and AI that you mentioned. Some of it will be in how we actually build the interfaces to support that cognitive work. But it's going to be really exciting to see how we shape the product based on doing real research into what matters when you're analyzing incidents, rather than just kind of taking what we currently do in the industry and making it a little bit better.
There's nothing like this right now, is there? This is really kind of a new space, new application space you're building and developing here. What got you guys started in this in this mindset? Obviously, your history with New Relic was very valuable. I'm sure that was a direct connection, but where did the company get this connection?
So our founder and CEO is Nora Jones, whose name will be familiar to anyone who is involved in the chaos engineering space. She and Casey Rosenthal really originated the chaos engineering practice at Netflix some years ago. And in the process of doing chaos engineering work, it became obvious to Nora, and she's talked about this several times in different talks, it became obvious to her that the process of preparing for chaos engineering experiments ended up being, for most people, the most valuable part of chaos engineering. And she noticed the overlap between that preparatory work and the kinds of analysis that you do after an incident, because chaos engineering is really sort of forcing incidents, essentially, right?
Right.
So, so she founded a community a while back called Learning from Incidents, that was a lot of people in the industry who were interested in these various themes, and she eventually realized that, as you said earlier, there's this gap in the tooling to support this kind of work. And she thought, well, I've been obsessed with this for quite a long time. I'm gonna have a go at building out some of this tooling. And interestingly, her very earliest prototype for a product was actually focused on improving the handoff process for on-call engineers who were handing off on-call to the next person. It was really focused on, here's how my on-call rotation went, here's what you need to know. And it was really very focused on the on-call rotation. Most of us at Jelly are engineers with a background, you know, lots of years of being on call. Lots of us are internal tools engineers. And so there was this initial focus on the on-call process. And as she demoed that and was talking to people in the industry and looking at what the most important gap was to fill, she realized that really the important thing that no one was covering wasn't on-call itself, but was this ability to analyze, support the analysis work post-incident. And so she pivoted and really started to build out this product that's become Jelly. A lot of the shape of the product has been based on working with companies and saying, you know, what are the pain points that you're solving as you're trying to analyze incidents? Where do you need the most support? And so that's led to the current state of the product today.
Yeah, it's definitely a major shift from a tool to help with incidents to a tool to help figure out how you respond to incidents and
right.
How you improve, how you learn about incidents. So I imagine there are companies that focus on the incident management part itself that would be very interested in seeing or working with you in some of the sorts of data that you're going to collect about how well incidents went and how they didn't. So I imagine there's some opportunities there as well too, because you definitely have the opportunity not only to help individual companies handle their incidents better, but also figure out the industry trends for what best practices are for how to handle incidents.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. There is tooling right now. It's still early stages, but there's definitely some tooling out there that supports the incident response process itself. And so, yeah, we're really honing in on this part of the process that no one has really tackled. And we certainly have an eye in the future towards how do we help companies learn from each other. We'll have to find ways of doing this that doesn't divulge information that companies don't want to share. As soon as you start talking about incident data, everybody, it's really nervous. But there's certainly got to be some way that
Company X had this problem and Company Y had that. Yeah, right.
but there's definitely, this is a conversation that is happening at large in the industry and one that we're involved in is how do we start to improve our kind of set of maybe patterns that we're identifying and starting to have a better vocabulary for talking about incidents that's beyond, you know, it was a Sev 1, Sev 2, Sev 3.
I like how you mentioned vocabulary, because even just improving the vocabulary so we can describe what's happening amongst each other during incidents as well as to others afterwards is going to be highly valuable. You know, it allows us to, you know, so many companies, when they think of incident response, they talk about, okay, who's responsible? And they don't get a lot more complicated than that. So the ability to have a language that describes what we're talking about with incident response and what we learn from it and using a language that allows us to describe concepts that are important to incident response other than who, what, why, other than those words, it's going to be very valuable. Be interesting to see what comes out of this.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm most interested in is I still don't even for myself still have a great vocabulary for describing types of incidents, shapes of incidents. You know, I have a handful of terms, but starting to build up that vocabulary is going to, I think, the vocabulary will follow the improved conceptual understanding. And then once we have a better conceptual understanding, we'll begin to have that shared vocabulary. And I think we'll see some rapid growth once we hit that point.
Well, I can tell you, I'm extremely excited to see where this all ends up, because I think this is an area, you know, as applications get larger and more complicated and get more more distributed, scaled, higher availability requirements, more people involved, scalable organizations supporting them. The complexity is growing immensely, and this is going to become a critical area that's been up until now really pretty well ignored. And so I'm when I first heard about Jelly from you, when you told me about this, is like, this is like, wow, this is cool. This is a great space to be in right now, because no one's doing it. And it's critically important for every company to have this, even though a lot of companies don't know it yet. They will. So I'm excited to follow you guys to see what you do next and see what happens with Jelly. I will tell my listeners that I have seen the demo of the closed beta, and it looks really exciting. But what I really like about it is you can look at it and you can just see where the future is and where it's headed and what it's going to do next. So I'm really looking forward to see it. I'm looking forward to other people being able to see it and get their reaction and find out what happens now. So good luck to you with your work there. And the Jelly's got a fine by having you, because you really know what you're talking about in this space, and I really respect what you're doing. So, and thank you for coming on the podcast. And maybe we can, like I said, we can do this again to talk about the 737 MAX. Maybe we want to do an episode talking about that. And later on, we can come back and you can tell me how, what you're learning, what you're finding out, and we can do some follow-ups from there.
Yeah, I would love to do that. And if your listeners are interested, feel free to reach out to me directly. Anyone who would like a demo, we're full up for our next round of the closed beta, but it's not impossible that we wouldn't open up another round after that. So if folks are interested in seeing a demo of the product, they can reach out to me at beth@jelly.io.
I'll put that in the show notes too.
Great. So yeah, thank you, Lee. This is so much fun talking to you about this.
Oh, thank you, Beth. I appreciate you coming. And once again, my guest today was Beth Long. Beth, who's led the reliability engineering team at New Relic. And right now she's leads the engineering team working on the industry's first incident analysis platform at the startup Jelly.io. Beth, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Lee. It's been a delight.
Thank you for listening to Modern Digital Applications with Lee Acheson. Lee helps executives keep up with industry trends and best practices in cloud computing, application scaling, DevOps, and applications modernization in order to stay in front of disruptive influencers. Subscribe to this podcast to ensure you get each new episode as it's available. Visit mdacast.com for all the resources and publications from Lee and his team. Thank you for tuning in to today's show.